Now, however old we are, we all have goals, don't we? We've all got goals. Sometimes we have some things that we look forward to in the future. Yeah? Something we have to work at. I wonder what yours is. What's a goal that you work towards? Doesn't matter how old you are, we all have it. Now, if you're younger, you might have a summer reading goal like Clem. Clem was telling me about that. And other kids do it as well. So, on the screen here, you'll see this summer reading challenge. You can see on the first log, you've got Diary of a Wimpy Kid by Jeff Kinney. And on this sheet, the kids write down the books they've read. It's a challenge, it's a goal. And if they read those 6 books in this particular one, they'll get a prize. They'll get a medal like this. It's got here Clem's Shiny Reading Award medal. And I'm going to wear it. I hope Clem doesn't mind. This is the medal that Clem got for his reading challenge. He had a goal and he completed it. Now, you see Clem, like other kids across the UK, they're doing these sort of challenges. They've worked hard to read all the books and to get a prize. But to win it, he had to look forward, didn't he? He had to look forward to that goal and to work. He had to do something to achieve, to win the medal. Now, if we're a bit older than Clem, you know, we could be in secondary school, we could be in college, or even if we're adults, you know, we might be working, or if we've got asylum cases, we're having to submit things, haven't we? We've got goals, we've got targets, we've got to meet. Important evidence for our asylum cases, you know, important evidence for our job centre applications. We've got to work towards a positive end, haven't we? Or maybe we might have goals at home, in the garden, things we want to achieve and do. See, all of us set goals that change the way we live our lives because we're working towards something. And this morning we're going to think about what the goal of a Christian should be and how that should change our lives. Our ultimate goal isn't impressive exam results. It's not a successful asylum case or a nice home, but something far, far greater than that. But our greater ultimate goal. Peter is the church leader who wrote this this letter, these verses that we're looking at today. And he wanted to remind Christians to look forward to a goal. God's future grace. And to run towards it. But what is God's future grace? What was Peter wanting these Christians to look forward to? We're going to find out. Christians have already received grace. Grace is a free gift from God, and it's the biggest grace they've received in their life. It's new life in Jesus. Jesus has died for their sins. He's washed them clean from all the bad stuff they've done so they can be friends with God and part of his special family. And as part of this amazing gift, God's promised them new bodies, free from sin, to live forever with Jesus in his new kingdom. But they don't receive that bit straight away. They have to wait when Jesus returns. I don't know how you open presents in your house, maybe at Christmas or birthdays, but we like to space ours out a bit because, you know, if we opened them straight away, we wouldn't get any time to enjoy any of them. We just go on to whatever the biggest one is. But sometimes you get a gift, don't you? Maybe it's a big one with lots of little packages. You take time one by one and you open a little bit now and a little bit later. And it's kind of like that being a Christian. There's more gifts. There's more grace to come. We have received this amazing grace, the best grace, the free gift of eternal life in Jesus. But there's even more to unwrap in the future. We can and should look forward to that. More Jesus. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? More Jesus. That sounds great. That sounds brilliant. Through Jesus, God the Father has blessed us loads already. But we also have future grace to look forward to, living with Jesus forever, free from sin. That's God's future grace, the completion of our salvation. Now, Peter, who wrote this, he wanted them to remember. Remember the grace they'd already received and look forward to even more. And to set their hope on it. That means Peter wanted them to focus on it, to look forward to it, to set their hope on future grace. And they needed to hear that because they were having a really, really hard time. when they were living, it was super hard. People wanted to hurt them because they're Christians, and that could have distracted them from their goal that they were working towards. And if during that hard time, it would have been very easy, you know, to set their hope on just taking a breather, having a comfortable life, or being really successful, doing really well in your job. But if they'd done that, they would never be able to reach their goal. But you see, the promises of God of future grace are something that keep them going. They're able to keep going and not give up. They know that Jesus is so great, it's so worth it to follow him, even in the hardest of times. So if you're old enough to read, try and follow along with me in your Bible. But if you can't read yet, don't worry. You can just listen to me carefully. And if it helps you, you can draw a picture of what you're listening to from the Bible to help you think about it. If you have got a Bible, look down with me on the very first word of our passage. It says, therefore. That's how verse 13 starts, doesn't it? Peter wants people to remember what he's already said. Because that's the reason why they should do what he says. That's what therefore means. Your bedroom is messy, therefore you should tidy it. You've got school tomorrow, therefore you should get a good night's sleep. You have new life in Jesus, therefore you should live Jesus' way. They're connected. Peter reminds them of the great gift that Jesus has given them, and that Jesus has given them a new way to live. So if you're following Jesus, you've received this amazing free gift that you could never earn yourself. The Bible calls that grace. And now God wants you to live Jesus' way. And from our verses in the Bible today, there's one big command. There's one big command that God wants us to focus on so we can live Jesus' way. Our verses today tell us to set our hope on future grace. Set our hope on future grace. Do you see that in verse 13? We're going to look at that command first in detail. And then there's three smaller questions that are going to help us to think carefully to understand it better. Set your hope on future grace. Can you see where I'm getting this idea of future grace from in verse 13? It's future because it's going to be given to us when Jesus comes back for his followers. It's in the future. Do you see how it says it's going to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ? A big word. Just means unveiling. The curtain's going to open and we will all see King Jesus for how amazing he is. That's the revelation we can look forward to. You see, when Jesus first came to die on a cross for everyone who believes in him, he humbled himself from his usual amazing appearance so that he could save us from our sins. But the next time he comes to earth, it's going to be a little bit different. Everyone will bow down and say, wow, Jesus is King of all kings. They're going to say, wow, whether they believe in him or not, they're going to see him in all his glory. It's going to be an amazing unveiling. Something that Christians can look forward to. Not with fear, but with faith. Because when Jesus comes again, he's going to bring even more grace for us. He's going to complete our rescue by giving us new bodies free from sin. And we're going to live forever with him. So let's look forward to that day. Let's look forward to future grace. And set your hope on it. Set your hope on future grace. The rest of the verse is all centered around this one command. And as we look at the passage together, we're going to see what it looks like in our lives. What does it look like to be focused on future grace? Now, especially if you're young, sometimes you think, oh, maybe this applies, you know, this is just for grown-up Christians, for keen, super Christians. But actually, anyone who believes in Jesus, they can focus on future grace. It's for every Christian. The question for us is, what are we going to focus on now? What are we going to focus on? Are we fully focused on God's future grace or something else? I'm sure we can all think of people in our lives that actually, they do focus on future grace. They seem to have big faith. whether it's health problems, they don't have a job, family problems, whatever hard time they have, you see them, and they're just faithfully following Jesus in that hard time. You know why? Because they're setting their hope fully on that future grace. They've got that goal, and they're working towards it. They're looking forward to something far better than, you know, a healthy body, or a job, or a happy family. We might not have any of these things in our life here and now, but if we're trusting in Jesus, we have something far, far better to look forward to. And a certain hope in the here and now. Setting our hope on God's future grace, it anchors our hearts and minds in Christ. When the waves of the world crash over us, when circumstances look really bleak, Christ is the anchor we can hold on to. So let's look to Him. We need Him, don't we? King Jesus, let's set our hope on future grace. That's the one big thing that God wants us to do this morning. And to see it a bit more clearly, we're going to look at those three questions that help us think about what does it mean to set our hope on future grace. All right, are you ready for the first question? Are you ready for the first question? It's this. Are you ready for action? Are you ready for action? And we're looking at the first part of verse 13. Peter says, Christians, if they're going to set their hope fully on future grace, they need to be ready for action. Ready for action. Now, if you look down in your Bibles, if you're able to see that, you'll see a little footnote next to preparing your minds for action. It says in the original language, the phrase literally means girding up the loins of your mind. At which point we should be really thankful, shouldn't we, for Bible translators. I mean, what does that mean? And no one really uses that phrase in the West anymore, as far as I'm aware. It's more of an ancient Eastern thing. But it's okay. Just think of maybe the Harry Potter films, where they've got these long, long black robes, right? And you can imagine Harry, he's running to his next class. He has to hitch up his robes. He has to hitch them up. That's what it means here. It means you're lifting up your robes ready to do some hard work. Maybe a run or some heavy lifting. It means basically just look, roll up your sleeves. We need to get to work here. We need to be ready for action. Ready for some hard graft. And it's an attitude that says, I'm ready to serve God. I'm ready to put in some hard work. I'm ready to be obedient. Not faffing about, not being half-hearted, but ready to do whatever God wants you to do. It's a bit like an athlete on the starting blocks. Wonder if you can recognize the guy in the picture. Wonder who that is. Who do you think that is? That's Usain Bolt. Now, he is a very, very fast guy, right? He's a very, very fast guy. And can you see him in the picture? Can you see how he's focusing? He's really focusing. He's looking ahead. That's right. That's Bolt. Usain Bolt. And he's looking ahead and he's listening. You know why he's listening? Because when you run like that, there's a starter gun that they fire, and as soon as they hear that sound, they're going to run as fast as they can. So he's just there. He's waiting. He's listening. He's ready for action, isn't he? He's ready for action. And you see, Peter wants believers, Christians, to be spiritually alert like that, ready to act, ready for action, ready to obey God instantly. So when they read something in God's word, they go and do it instantly. They're off the mark like Usain Bolt. Boom. They're going to go and do it. That's what it means to prepare our minds for action. We have to think now, are we really ready for action like Usain Bolt? Are we? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we have that mindset? We have that mindset. Now, if you're a Christian, having that mindset of being ready for action, that means you're not going to pretend sin doesn't matter. You're not going to pretend it's no big deal. But you're going to do the hard work of stopping sins in our lives. Because sin is a big deal. If you're saved by Jesus, that's what you want to do. However long we've been a Christian, even if we've been following Jesus for years and years, you know that mindset, that can start to slip, can't it? We're not ready for action in quite the same way. We're not listening for what God wants us to do. We're not battling sin. If that's you today, then remember, we are in a battle against sin. The Bible talks about that, doesn't it, really clearly. We need to take up the fighter gear. Don't give up. God's going to give you all the strength you need. So be ready to battle sin. Prepare your mind for action. It's an attitude and a way of life. And for all of us, that could mean that we need to have those honest and open conversations, don't we? Yeah? With people that know us well, close Christian friends. You need to share your lives with them. You know, they can let you know how they can see you're growing and be encouraged. But also, they can see sometimes better than us, like where we're not really battling sin, where we're not really prepared for action. People who know us well can see where we need to change things in our lives. Now I wonder, when was the last time you had a chat like that with a close friend? Doesn't matter how old you are, maybe if you're a kid you could chat with your parents. When did you have a chat about that? About how you're doing, battling sin or following Jesus? It's not easy, is it? It can be a bit awkward. But it's the kind of thing that someone who's prepared for action does. That's the kind of thing they'll do. And that's something to think about, isn't it? And we need to do the simple things as well, don't we? We need to keep on in the simple but important things. Meeting Christians however we can. It's great we can meet in this building. But if you can't do that, doing it virtually, we need to do that, don't we? We need to hear the Bible preached. We need to pray. Help us keep that mindset of battling sin, even when it's hard. Are you ready for action? Are you ready for action? Because we need to be if we're going to set our hope on future grace. And now, the second question, we've got another question to ask ourselves. If we're going to really set our hope on future grace, are you thinking clearly? Are you thinking clearly? Are you thinking clearly? And we're still looking at verse 13, if you're following along. Peter uses this word, sober-minded. Are you thinking clearly? He doesn't mean, are you thinking quickly? Yeah? Can you tell me the answer to this maths equation or something like that? If you need help with maths help, James is just over there. He's very, very qualified to do that. Nah, but he's not talking about that. He's not talking about having a good night's sleep as well. Some of us struggle with that, isn't it? He's not talking about being clear in the head, being a well-slept, healthy, well-educated Christian. He's not talking about that. It's about a mindset that anyone can have. Doesn't matter how educated you are. Doesn't matter if you've got health problems. Anyone can have that. We can all have a mindset that is spiritually alert. It's the opposite of spiritual laziness. It's the opposite of that. I'm sure we can all think of times in our lives where actually we've been a bit spiritually lazy. That means we haven't really focused on Jesus, on King Jesus. We got distracted by something else. We focused all our attention on the here and now. All our attention and not on King Jesus. But Peter is urging his readers to be spiritually alert. A sober-minded person is a person that sets their hope fully on future grace. But it is hard sometimes, isn't it? It is hard. Our hearts are forgetful. It's easy to be distracted by what really matters. Wonder how many times you've gone to the shop and forgotten why you went in there in the first place. Maybe you're like me, you walked into the shop and you're making this thinking face like the emoji. Maybe kids, you've seen mum or dad do that. You go into the shop and they're like, ah. Oh. They've forgotten something. I know some of you are really empathising with me right now. You've been sent on this important task, haven't you? You've been sent, you need to get something for the kids. You need to get something in the local supermarket to pick something up. And as soon as you walk in the door, you're just bombarded. There's loads of these signs, buy this interesting thing, this special deal here. And so you have a little look around, something for the house, something for the garden. 2 minutes become 10 minutes, 10 minutes becomes half an hour. And then suddenly, you're on the way to the checkout, and you've got that weird sinking feeling, I've forgotten something. It's a bit funny, right, isn't it? It's a bit funny, it's silly. And yet, we kind of do the same thing in our Christian lives. And actually, that's really serious. We forget so easily. We hear all these messages, you know, from friends, from family, from media. Oh, this is what you really need. This is going to make you happy. And they distract us from Jesus. They distract us. When we start to dwell on those false hopes, our spiritual vision, it gets a bit foggy. Should be looking straight ahead to Jesus, but it gets cloudy because we're looking to other things. The more we focus obsessively on the things of this earth, the more blind to spiritual realities we become. We're not looking to Jesus. Is there something right now that's maybe clouding your mind from being clearly set on Jesus? Is there something? There could be. Are we running to TV or retail therapy or comfort when we find things really hard? Or are we asking King Jesus for help first? So easy to do that, isn't it? To do the wrong thing. To run to something else first. If we want to be spiritually alert, even when things are hard, we need to set our hope on future grace. Instead of maybe retreating from other people when things are a bit overwhelming and hard, reach out. Let another Christian help you to see your situation clearly. To remind you of who you are in Christ, of the amazing future grace you can look forward to, even in hard times. We need people to help us like that. And maybe instead of obsessively checking the news, you know, planning, hoping for a hope of normality, free from coronavirus, you know, we can get in a bit of a tizzy. We're constantly checking the news. If we're focusing on that all the time, it's not going to help us, is it? We need to constantly remind ourselves of who we are in Christ first and the amazing future grace we can look forward to. Are you thinking clearly? Because we need to be if we're going to set our hope on future grace. Now, the third and final question we're going to think about from these verses shows us what setting our hope on future grace looks like in our lives. What does it look like? If we're having the right mindset, it's going to change the way we live. We're going to live holy lives. And we're going to think about what that means in just a minute. Good and godly lives, different from the world around us, separate from the world around us. So ask yourself this, are you living a holy life? Are you living a holy life? Now Peter, he tells his readers that what flows out of having your hope set in the right place, what naturally happens is holiness. If you're setting your hope on future grace, you will naturally live a holy life. That's the right way we respond to God's grace, is to obey him. To follow what he says. And that's good for us. And it's going to really change the way we live our lives. We'll live like obedient children. Do you see that in your verses? Now when some parents hear obedient children, they might be thinking, what? What's an obedient child? I haven't seen that. But this is an old phrase. It's an old phrase. It has a rich meaning. It's a bit like obedience is our mother and we're her children. It's a family resemblance thing, right? We all look like that. Christians should have that resemblance. We should all look like people who are obedient, following God. That's the new life and the adopted family we've been called into. And that's the positive way of looking at it. But there is a flip side as well. There's a negative way. Something we need to reject. Yeah? Do you see that in verse 14? It says, don't be conformed to the passions and the sinful desires of your former ignorance. Before we met Jesus, we were clueless. We lived however we wanted, didn't we? We did lots of silly stuff. But now we've received grace, we've got a new mission, a new purpose. And that old way of living life, it doesn't fit anymore. We've grown out of those dirty old shoes. How would we go back to them? Instead, we look ahead to Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Saviour, who's called us out of darkness into his amazing light. Look at the beginning of verse 15 with me. But as he who called you is holy. Jesus is the one who's called you. And it's not like, you know, when your mate calls you or invites you to an event. When Jesus says something, it happens instantly. Yeah? He's called us to a life of holiness. That means a pattern of life that's different to the world around us. A pattern of life that looks like Jesus. Now this is a fun science experiment. I wonder if you've ever tried to mix oil and water. Can you see on the screen here, we've got oil and water in a cup. I've got a physical one, because you might not have done this before, okay? So there's some like cooking oil at the top there, and there's water there. Can you see how it's separate? And even if I was to shake it a little bit, like that, so it mixes, it doesn't really mix. I'm going to put it here so you can see. Can you see? Slowly, actually I'll do it for the camera as well. You see, I've shaked it a little bit. The more I shake it, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't mix. The oil goes back up to the top, and the water stays separate. Living a holy life means we live separate from the world around us. However much you shake us, we're not going to mix. We're not going to mix. You can try that at home if you like. You can try that at home. Little science experiment. What things mix with water and what doesn't. But for Christians, we need to remember that, don't we? We're not meant to be like the world around us. We're meant to live different lives. Holy lives. Because this earth is not our home. We're looking forward to Jesus. We're looking forward to future grace. A holy home, a better kingdom, where we can live with Jesus forever. God makes it clear He wants us to be holy like Him in verse 16. He's called us out of darkness, out of the ways of this world, to be a special people marked by holiness, to enjoy Him and glorify Him forever. So that looking forward to future grace is connected, isn't it, to how God wants us to live. If we're looking to Jesus, it's going to change the way we live. We're going to live holy lives, separate lives. Having that goal changes the way we live, doesn't it? Do you remember Clem's reading challenge? Still wearing his medal. I feel quite special. Got his medal. Now, even if something like, you know, a reading, kids' reading challenge is a goal, yeah, that it's not just something you look towards and don't do anything about. It's something that changes your life, isn't it? As you read more books, you get better at reading, at that skill. It's just how it works. And you're going to keep going when it's hard, because you're looking forward to this medal. You're going to keep on at it. But if you're following Jesus, you have an even better goal, don't you? Even better. Future grace, life forever with Jesus, our amazing King. And if that's our goal, we're going to live holy lives, different from the world around us, even when it's hard, because we're looking forward to that amazing prize. So that's what we've been thinking about this morning, isn't it? As we set our hope on future grace, we're going to be ready for action. We're going to be thinking clearly. And we're going to be living holy lives, pleasing to God. As we do that hard work of setting our hope on future grace, God's going to show us some things we need to change, maybe thoughts, attitudes, words. But He's going to help us to do it. So as this week, as we live with a bit more lockdown restrictions, let's remember to look forward. Let's remember to look forward. A great thing to do in your homes would be to read 1 Peter chapter 1, even the verses before us, because it tells us of this amazing grace you've received in Jesus, and we need to remember that. Thank God for all the blessings you've received in Christ, and if you haven't followed Jesus yet for yourself, that's something to think about. Have a think about the amazing hope that Jesus gives us in a world of uncertainty. And get in touch with us. Yeah, just if you've got a question about Christianity, if you want to read the Bible with someone and find out more, get in touch with the church. We'd love to do that with you. So that we can all look forward to future grace until Jesus returns again.